Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsible day for the 14th of Kislev. And today we're going to have an opportunity to hear from Rav Cook in Shut Da'at Kohen, which is talks about Yoredei issues of ritual, you know, permissibility and not permissibility. Yoredei is where the kashrus halachos appear. It's where the laws of marital relations appear in terms of whether and when a woman can have to go to mikvah. So there's all sorts of stuff in Yoredei, including that Yoredei is the laws of tzedakah. And that's what this shuv is going to be about. It's Siman Kuf Lamed Bet 132. I don't ordinarily pay attention to the recipient of these shuvot. Usually it's just some nameless, often it's a nameless rav. Sometimes it's a nameless, it's a rabbi with a name, but a name that I don't recognize. But in this case, because he's talking about accepting charity from non-Jews, as we'll get to, I was curious as to what community he was writing to, and this is a tshuva from the 14th of Kislev of Tafresh Ayin Vav of 1915, when Rav Cook was stuck during World War I in England, and he became the rabbi of a shul in England, eventually in London, but England and Switzerland. So along the way, he got to know this rav in Switzerland who we've seen before, because the rav asked about punishing a community by refusing to go speak to them. I just found it. This is from the 8th of Kislev. So for you who are listening, it's just 6 days ago worth. I record them at various times, so for me it's a different rhythm. But this Rav Asher Michal Cohen in Basel also asked about the question of accepting and taking charity from non-Jews. And this is based on the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Bava Batra, in Chet Amud Aleph, that says that we shouldn't accept money from non-Jews. We'll get into the reasons as we read through the tshuva, as we read through the responsum together. So the question is, his question wasn't, can you take from non-Jews, because that's clear in the Gemara, but let's suppose there's some kind of a public fund, right, or a government fund that the non-Jewish government has, and most of the money in this fund comes from the government, and it goes to Jewish poor and to non-Jewish poor, and the question is, can the Jewish communal fund take money from there and then distribute it to Jews? So it's sort of a step removed from the actual Jewish poor. That will become a relevant consideration as well. So the rabbi who raised the question said maybe that was a problem when it's one-to-one tzedakah. But if there are many recipients and it comes from a central fund of some sort, so it's not really directly a non-Jew giving to another to a Jew, which has its problems, maybe if there are more people involved, maybe that wasn't the issue in the Gemara at all. That was his suggestion. Except the Rav Cook points out that can't be right, because there's a Tosot in Bava Batra on that Gemara discussing that Gemara's issues that notes that there's a Gemara elsewhere in Erechin which says that they accepted money from an Arab merchant, from a Taya, which is usually an Arab merchant or a merchant, who wanted to offer candles and light to a shul. So he's making a donation to the shul and they accepted it. So the Tosos question was, I understand, this Gemara says we don't accept things from non-Jews, and that Gemara says we do. So he says, no, that Gemara, when it says he accepts candles to a shul, it's like a sacrifice. Why is it like a sacrifice? Because he's offering something for the support of Jewish worship, and we have a Gemara explicitly in Nazir that says that we accept Nidarim and Nidavot, we accept sacrifices from non-Jews like Jews in the Beit HaMikdash. So it says, yeah, so giving money to a shul, to a synagogue, to support its upkeep, that's not charity, that's more like offering a sacrifice. That's Tosfos' answer. Rav Cook is reading that Tosfos, and he'll come back to it, but pointing out that when you give money to a shul, it's like a non-Jew giving to many people all at once. So if there was any support to this idea that this rabbi in Basel, Switzerland had, that if it's going to many people at once, maybe it doesn't fall in the same category, then the question from the merchant giving to support a shul wouldn't have been relevant, because the answer should have been, no, that was going to many people at once, and that's why it's okay. Tosfos gives a different answer. Now, this won't be our issue at all, but I just point out that in Tosfos' answer, there's the assumption that charity goes to the poor and donations to a shul aren't really the same thing as charity. That's a discussion for another time, but discussion to think about what we define as charity. We've seen together issues of maaser kesafim, what we can use. We saw Rav Uziel talk about, I think it was Rav Uziel, talk about whether you can use your maaser kesafim money to support Keren Kayemet Yisrael, to support the Jewish National Fund. So there's too the question of what counts as tzedakah as charity, and he also assumed that it was money given to the poor. That's something that we've lost sight of, I think, today. Based, you know, if we have tax laws that are willing to exempt people from taxes or to give people a break on taxes for donations to various causes, we come to think of all of them as charity. I just want to point out that I think there's more than a little halachic room to say that tzedakah charity in its bare sense means the poor, and other good donations that we give might not count as tzedakah as charity. So when the Gemara says that we can't accept tzedakah from non-Jews, for reasons we're getting to, I promise, when the Gemara says that, Tosfos is pointing out that it doesn't include things that are donations to holy places, because that's less charity and more support of holy places, which is a wonderful thing. But there, we allow and are willing to have non-Jews support those causes just as much as they could have supported the Beit HaMikdash in its time by offering nidarim and nidavot, by offering things they gave of their own free will. For Rav Kook's purposes, though, it shows that there's no distinction between when the non-Jew gives it to a single person or to a multitude of, but to a group of people. If it were charity, we'd have the problem. An even better proof, he says, comes from a Hagot Ashri in Bava Batra, which says, "Sha'alti ma'ishna tztaka ma'ishna darim devot in the kavli." We accept the darim devot from them. So he says, "Adarav nisbocha daraita kavush mekavli darim devot." We should accept tztaka, and then he gives an answer over there. In other words, Rav Kook is not interested in the answer. Rav Kook's point is that Hagot Ashri makes even clearer the distinction being between offering sacrifices, offering support for the Beit HaMikdash, and tzedakah, and says very clearly that they are in some way comparable, if not for the answer that we give. The answer that he gives, I looked it up, Rav Kook doesn't give it to us, he just says go look it up if you want to. The answer they give is that nidarim and nidavot don't create any kapara. There's going to be an undercurrent here from the Gemara of the worry that we're providing them opportunities for kapara, for atonement of their various sins. Not like they're completely getting rid of their sins, they're completely changing. They're just going to get rid of some sins, and that will delay the course of history. We'll get to it. Well, Cook's only point being that you would have thought they were similar to each other, and his answer was some other answer, not korbanot, sacrifices are given in terms of, are given to a public endeavor to the Beit HaMikdash, and it's like a rabbin is doing it, like it's being given to the public, to a group, and therefore it should be different. So it must be that it's not true. And that, in fact, this Gemara in Bava Batra that talks about the prohibition of accepting charity from non-Jews applies even if the charity is being given to individuals, whether or not the charity is being given to individuals or being given to a group. In fact, if Cook says, if you track down the reasons, he thinks it might be even worse when it's being given to a group. Because when it's given to an individual, the reason that we give for the prohibition is Mishum Ziluta. So Ziluta means... And the people who accept it, we call them Ochlei Davar Echer. It means it's not nice, it's not appropriate, it's not covetic, as it were, for Jews to be in a position where, right, if we know and understand and believe that we are the Am Hashem, that we are the nation of Hashem, and that if only we acted properly, Hashem would support us in all sorts of ways, but our lives would go very smoothly, financially, and medically, and politically, and militarily, and all those sorts of things. So then, if you have a Jew in a position they need to accept charity, it's very embarrassing, and it's upsetting, it's ziluta, it's a denigration of that person, and to some extent, of the Jewish people, and we call them ochlei davar acher, we call them people who are willing to eat, so davar acher in the Gemara means eat sort of the sacrifices of idol worship, meaning we're partaking, this person is sort of partaking of idolatry in the sense that he's letting non-Jews, now at the time of the Gemara, non-Jews all were idolaters, but he's letting them sort of be the force that keeps him going. It makes him sort of, in some sense, participating in their world, right? They have a functioning system. His system, whatever it is, hasn't functioned well enough to keep him supported and keep him going. He needs to accept charity from them. So that's a problem. And in fact, at a rabbinic level, these people are pesulim, eidut. They are not able to give valid testimony in court. The Rambam, I looked it up in Hilchot Eidut, or not, I didn't look it up, Rav Kook tells us, the Rambam calls them Bichlal HaBizuyim. They're among the people who are so lacking in dignity. They are so, it's not just that they're looked down upon by society, but they look down upon themselves, and therefore we don't trust their testimony. The reason being that they don't have a sense of themselves such that we can trust that their sense of the importance of truth will make sure that whatever testimony they give will in fact be the true testimony. So at a rabbinic level, they're not able to give testimony. But that's only true, real quick, points out and says, when the charity is being given in public, when the whole world knows about the fact that this Jew is accepting charity from non-Jews. So, and that's the bizayon. The bizayon is he's willing to put himself in that situation where it becomes clear that this Jew needs the help of non-Jews. And the Rambam's language, Rav Kook says, makes clear that if it was bitsina, it wouldn't be usher. If it was a private event between this Jew and this non-Jew, or this Jew and some government, but nobody knew about it, so then the element of bizayon wouldn't come into play. It's the fact that this Jew is abasing himself publicly, or herself, publicly to accept these funds that creates the problem. If you'll allow me to pause just here, I don't generally editorialize, but occasionally I yield to the temptation to express my own opinions, and if you don't like this, you can feel free to email me at grothst@gmail.com. But it is my recognition of this Gemara when I came across it, whenever I did, and reading this Rav Kook and more as we're about to get to in Rav Kook's writing about this issue, that it is so surprising to me to find people, at least in America, maybe true, I'm pretty sure it's true in Israel too, unfortunately, large segments of Jews who willingly put themselves in the position of needing charity. So in America, it's from non-Jews. In Israel, it's often from a Jewish government that the people who are doing it think of as a government that doesn't count as a Jewish government because they're upset about the lack of observance in that Jewish government. So to accept charity from such people, this Gemara Bava Batra, I think, says we shouldn't be doing it. So the fact that you find whole communities in America of observant Jews who live there, who structure their lives in such a way that they will need charity from the government, forget whether or not we should be in favor of accepting charity in general, right? That's a whole other question. Whether we structure a life in which we'll have to live off of charity, that's another kind of a discussion. But the fact that one will do it from a non-Jewish government, this Gemara that Rav Kook is talking about and dealing with for this community in Switzerland raises, I think, significant questions about the validity and the probability of doing so. Plenty of Torah scholars in those communities as well, who I'm sure have found justification, whatever it is. I just am pointing out that it's not the easiest justification to find, because it's pretty clear in this Gemara that is something we should be avoiding to the extent that we can. When it comes to Rabbi, now back into Rav Kook, when it comes to a group accepting charity or getting the charity and the Gemara's opposition to doing so, there is no distinction made between sin'ah and parhesia, between doing it privately or doing it publicly. So that means, Rav Kook says, that we end up with two very different reasons for why we are not supposed to accept money from non-Jews. One is the individual does so, is debasing himself by doing so. For Rashi, it's a chilul Hashem. It's a desecration of Hashem's name that a Jew needs this from a non-Jew. And according to Rambam, it's that the person himself is willing to lower himself to this extent. It's not a question of the chilul Hashem. It's a question of this person's self-perception, that he's willing to go so low as to go to what certainly in their times were hated non-Jews, you know, and non-Jews with whom there was a very tense relationship, to go to such people to accept money. That ability and that willingness to lower oneself in that way, so the Rambam says that makes one pasul le'edus, because we can't trust that they would have a sense of their own dignity to make sure to tell the truth. That's also an element of accepting charity that often I think is lost today. Right? It's supposed to be really uncomfortable. There are plenty of people, I've met people who manifest discomfort as they ask, but it's clear that they don't really have that discomfort, because they ask over and over and over again in lots of contexts, and many people don't even have a sense of embarrassment about it. The Rambam says that's a person who has lost such a sense of his own dignity that the halacha is that such a person is pasul edut, is invalid to be a witness, has lost his validity as a witness at a rabbinic level. And the Gemara gives another reason for doing so, and it's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which says, "Bivoish ktsira tishavarna," when its harvest is dried up, then it will be broken. And the Gemara Bava Batra understands that to mean that when they run out of merits, that's when their rule over the world will come to an end. So if we accept charity from them, as a group, if we accept charity from them, that creates a merit for them, and that delays the time when this kingdom, who we think of as not being the one that we want to be in power, a position of power, we think that ultimately the Jewish view of the world to be in a position of power. So all these governments, and this will be true whether or not they're actual idolaters, but they're certainly not governments that see the world the same way as Judaism does. So all these governments, we hope for the time when they are changed, and as long as they have merits, that's not going to happen. So that's Bivosh Ktsira. And then Rav Kook says, and these are completely independent reasons. Where you have one, you don't have the other. Because there's no reason to think, he says, he's never heard of anybody who claims that by giving charity to an individual, that those kinds of merits are such that they come into this calculus for this pasuk in Yeshayahu of Bivosh Ktsira. I didn't tell you where it was. The pasuk in Yeshayahu is in Perek of Zion, chapter 27, verse 11, if you want to look it up. So, Rav Kook says there are independent reasons. The individual is degrading himself or creating a chilul Hashem, and the group, by accepting the charity, is giving a merit to the non-Jews who are giving that charity, and that's something we're supposed to try, when we can, to avoid doing. Part of the reason why he's so sure of that is because in the case of giving it to a group, it doesn't come directly from the non-Jews. The non-Jews give it to the Gabbai Tzedakah of the Jewish distributors of the charity, the people who are the administrators of the charitable funds, because the non-Jews don't know the Jews well enough to give it to them. They give it to the group. That would, interestingly, as I'm saying this, Rav Kook then might suggest that, let's say you have a government, we'll get to government later in the response, but if you have a government organization to which people apply directly and receive their funds directly, and that's done Bitsina, Rav Kook might say that that's not a problem of any of these issues. Because since it's Bitsina, there's no Chilul Hashem. Since it's in private, nobody has to know about it. There's not the Chilul Hashem, and the person's not debasing himself because it's a governmental event and a governmental affair, and it's done in private, and there's no public knowledge of it, so there's no loss of dignity to the person. So therefore, that individual might, and there's no reason to think there's a Bivosh Ktsira, there's a accrual of these great merits, because it's not being done to a whole group, and it's not being to a whole group, to a rabbim, as they said. So there's no reason to say that. So here, when the government gives it to the Jewish administrators of various charities, and they give it out to the people, there's no debasing, there's no Chilul Hashem, because it's not going directly to anybody, and therefore that element of it isn't there. There's only the question of Bivosh Ktsira, that the government, that the non-Jews are gaining merits by virtue of their good deeds. And the merits, we have somewhat of a problem of being the vehicle of their gaining these merits. Then Rukh says, you know, if it wasn't that nobody else has said it, he would have thought that this might only be true then for the government when they give out charity. But let's suppose some non-Jewish group, and let's make it a non-religious group just to avoid that set of questions, right? Some non-Jewish group sets up a kind of a charitable thing, and they're going to give out money, right? Warren Buffett decides one day, he's not Jewish, right? Warren Buffett decides one day to give out money to, you know, a group of Jewish poor, and he sends the money over to the administrators of the charity, right? He decides that, you know, the Metropolitan Council for the Jewish Poor is a good organization. He wants them to have some money, sends over some money, and then give out the money to the Jewish poor. Rav Kook says he's not sure that that even has an issue of Bivosh Ktsira, because the whole question of Bivosh Ktsira is the continued thriving of the government that is running the non-Jews government and not seeing the world the Jewish way. And that's something we want the course to history to eventually work its way back to a different government being in power. So he says maybe it's only if the government itself is doing the good deed. But the fact that citizens of a country are doing various good deeds, he says maybe that doesn't count as anything, and that's not a problem. That's a suggestion that he makes. And then that would mean that if the group is accepting charity and that charity is not coming from the kingdom or the government, there would be no problem, because there's no bizayon, there's no debasing oneself, because they're not going personally to get it, and it's not really in public, it's coming from the Gabbai Tzedakah, the administrators of the Tzedakah, etc. So that was an idea. So when it comes to this charitable fund in Switzerland now, that is ready to talk about the issue, he says, you didn't tell me in your question whether this fund, which is not apparently a governmental fund, and therefore that was the reason why he brought up this issue, maybe it would have been fine just by virtue of the fact that it's not a governmental fund, but he says you also didn't tell me if this is the kind of thing that has Jewish donors. So for example, if I give to City Harvest, so City Harvest gives out meals to the homeless, to people who don't have food, so if I give out money to City Harvest and you give money to City Harvest, and City Harvest has 10 million donors, but 100,000 of those donors are Jews, that affects the calculus somewhat, because he says, if there's Jews who are donors to this charity, then there's no reason why you can't take it. Of course you can take it, because we have a Tosefta in Gittin, and in Demai, and in Avodah Zarah, which says, in Ir Sheyesh Ba Nochrim v'Yisrael, in a city where there are Jews and non-Jews living together, the charity administrators take money from the Jews and from the non-Jews and have every right to support both Jewish poor and non-Jewish poor. Nobody says that that's the problem. Nobody says you have to figure out if the non-Jews are giving more, because since it's all a joint venture and the Jews and the non-Jews are both giving and donating to it, then there's no bizayon there. There's no issue of being debased by having to take from a non-Jewish charity, because it's not a non-Jewish charity. It's a joint charity. It's a joint project of the Jewish, of Jews and non-Jews. And there's also, he says, no problem with Yivosh Ktzira, because, and this is an interesting read of the Gemara, I'm not sure that I would have known it was Jewish, because it's not a particular merit of the non-Jews now. Sure, it's a merit of the non-Jews. They get merit for their good deeds, because they're doing good deeds. But the Rav Kook is saying that the Gemara was worried about that when the non-Jews themselves take care of a problem without any Jewish participation in that, they get this special merit because they're seeing a problem the Jews apparently aren't dealing with, and they're taking care of it. But when it's just the Jews and non-Jews together doing it, so yes, of course they get merit, but that's not the kind of merit that the Gemara was worried about, because that's not a merit that leads to them having the right to be in charge of the world and to continue their kingship and their administration and their political rule in any particular way, because the Jews around there were also part of it. So there's no special merit. That's what Rav Kook says. So therefore he thinks if it's a joint charitable pot, then it's fine and there's no worry about it. And he says you don't even have to worry about whether it's exactly the same or about it's majority or not majority. He says as long as you have reason to believe that the Jewish donations are significant enough that they can cover the Jews who are getting the charity, that would be another reason to think it, because then also you'd say the non-Jews aren't maybe even giving to the Jews. We can just assume, you know, if you have a, if the charity has a budget of $1 million and Jews get $200,000 out of that, but other Jews donate around $200,000, he thinks that that's fine, because then the stuff is telling us that we can assume the money went in from Jews went out to Jews, and we don't have to assume the other way. Another issue that he raises is if this charitable fund, whatever it is, as this man had written, as this Rav had written to Rav Kook, if the government provides most of the funds for the charitable fund, he said, then that's even better, because it's clear that Jews are part of the country and part of the citizenry, and the Jews contribute to the government. So if the Jews contribute to the government, then when the government gives money, it's again, that's not just non-Jewish money, it's Jewish and non-Jewish money. What's Jewish and non-Jewish money? Rav Kook is saying, we have the right to assume the Jewish money goes to the Jews or the non-Jewish money goes to the non-Jews. It's sort of like when there are complaints in America about, you know, some states give more in taxes than they get back in services, and they have a complaint about that. So if you had a state which gave less in taxes but got more in services, so Rav Kook seems to be saying that if the Jews give around the same amount to the fund that they get back, then you're all fine. You don't have to figure it out exactly. And then he went a step further and said, and if it's government money coming in, then we can assume the Jews gave to the government. And he says, and there you also completely don't have to calculate. And here's why. He says, because Jews give to the government with their money, their taxes, with their bodies, meaning their efforts, with their souls, and with their talents. And therefore, you can assume that a lot of the money, government money coming to the charitable fund, really comes from Jews. Now that's a fascinating idea, because what he's saying is that it's not a pure money situation. Let's suppose you had a government in Switzerland, and let's suppose the Jews of Switzerland give their, let's suppose for a second they give their proper taxes, which I hope would be true, but let's suppose they're only 2% of the population. So their taxes would be pretty much, let's say 2%, or let's say they were a very wealthy community. He makes comments that they were a wealthy community, although obviously some of them need tzedakah, but they're a wealthy community, so they, let's say their taxes actually provide 7% of the tax base. So theoretically, the government funds that come into this charitable fund are 7% Jewish. And let's say, sadly, 10% of the recipients are Jews. So you'd say there's an imbalance there. But what Rav Kook is saying is that you don't figure it only by the money, because it's not just taxes that by which Jews support the country. They support the country by being good citizens and by providing all these other things that they do. So, you know, let's say 50% of the doctors in Switzerland at the time were Jews. It's clearly not that many, but let's suppose. So they pay their proper taxes, but even then, it's still true their taxes don't affect the tax base that much, but they keep the country going out of proportion of that, and in doing so, Rav Kook says, they give the government the opportunity to have the money to provide the support in all those kinds of ways. So that's really an interesting claim to me. It's a new claim. It's a novel claim, an idea about how we figure contributions to the government. We could easily imagine they would just be financial. Rav Kook is saying, no, you go beyond that, because what helps keep the country going is helping the government, and then government funds that do that come from that as well. But he says he thinks it is worth, even with all these reasons to say we can accept the money, he thinks that the requests that are being made, and that these requests can be made by the community's charitable fund administrators to get a grant from, let's say, this central fund, he says it should be done not in a pleading way, but in some kind of a covered way, that it shouldn't look like the Jewish people are coming to beg for money. It's got to be more like there's money being given out to the needy in the country of Switzerland. We, as the Jewish community, would like the opportunity to participate in handing out those funds to those needy that we can identify. Something like that, in a way that retains the honor of the Jewish community. Because you don't want to make it seem like, he says, chas v'shalom, that a wealthy Jewish community doesn't have the ability to support its poor. Now, it could be the answer is that you really did have the ability to support their poor, but if their government funds being given out, these government funds are earmarked for whatever it is, widows and orphans, then why shouldn't the Jewish community, which pays their taxes and supports the country in all the ways they live there, why shouldn't they get that money? So Cook says, that's true, but you just have to make sure that you express it in a way that doesn't make it seem like Jews need the help of the non-Jew community, because that has some of that element of Chilul Hashem that we spoke about before that Rashi pointed out. And if they can even talk about it in terms of, it's really just distributing based on the percentage of taxes, if it was able to work out that you could make that claim, much like states in America say, well, we give out so much in tax, we get so little in services, if they can make that argument, then Rav Kook says even better, because then it's clearly about just what's coming in, what's coming out, and the right ways and the just ways for money to be apportioned. Then I'm going to skip a little piece because he goes on to a different topic for a second that I don't think we have time to. Yeah, I don't think we have time to deal with it. It's about how you pray for the ill and when you need their names, not their names. But at the very end, he adds like a postscript. He says, another reason it seems to me that an individual accepting charity, accepting funds from a non-Jew is going to be a question of bivosh ksira. It's going to be a question of extending non-Jewish rule over the world in a way that we don't want to, is that in general, when money's given out, the person giving the money isn't happy about it. So when he gives it unhappily, so even if he gives a huge amount of money, Rav Kook says, and he's not talking about non-Jews here, he's talking about in general in charity, and therefore it's a lesson for us to learn, he says, hifsit scharo. The person loses his reward. I'm not sure he means all the reward, but he means much of the reward. Because the part of the reward for charity is the experience of the need of the other, the desire to help the other who is in need, and then to support him in that way. So if I give the money, but I'm angry about doing it, so you lose a lot of the reward for it. So he says, when it comes to non-Jews, very often that's true. And especially since in the Gemara's reading, the non-Jews, and the Gemara's reading, very often their point was to embarrass us. So when the giving of charity, there was a stick to it, there was an element to it where they were happy about their ability to lord it over us. So if they're lording it over us and therefore embarrassing the poor person who's receiving the money, so much of the reward goes away, and therefore that whole worry that the merits being accrued would extend their administration, their rule, that all goes away. So the lessons that we learn here, some of which are relevant, many of which are relevant to us, are lessons about charity, about our relations with the people around us. These are all important lessons in terms of the questions of what we do and don't do with our taxation funds, and what we can do and what we can receive, what we can get, and our reminder of the importance of maintaining our personal dignity, our international dignity, and of our desire for the course of history to go certain ways, and that this Gemara Bava Batra says that even something as innocuous as accepting charity when necessary can also have broader historical consequences that we're supposed to somewhat track as we go about living our lives. That is Rav Kook with a tshuva from Dat Kohen for the 14th of Kislev. Have a great day.